Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
And we are back. It is Monday night, and I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. How are you?
It's a happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Jose. ¿Cómo estás tú?
Bien, ¿y usted?
Yo bien.
I'm showing off with the Spanglish.
We can do the Spanglish
pretty good.
Very, very well. Well, we've got a lot to cover tonight, not the least of which it looks like Gronk is going, Rob Gronkowski, one of the great tight ends ever, is probably going to be spending a little more time in Cabo with his girlfriend, Camille Kostic. There were whispers in New England that she talked him into retiring.
And she's pretty cute, so I can see that she'd be influential. Now, they better not be in Jupiter, Florida at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa.
What's the issue with the Orchid of Asia?
We're going to talk about that timing later, too.
That will come later. We will talk about Robert Kraft. Yeah, funny timing on the announcement. We'll come back to, they got one day with Robert Kraft's apology. The next day, the big Gronk announcement. But Robert Kraft entering into the NFL owners' meetings, which are now underway. I mean, it's happening as we speak. So this is a weird window for him to return and walk amongst his peers as really the legal process is unfolding. And, of course, ultimately Roger Goodell has his own disciplinary process on behalf of the NFL.
Apparently lots of things are unfolding in Robert Kraft's life. But we'll just see. He sits on 5 NFL committees. So I would love to be a fly on the wall and see how these other owners are responding to him or reacting to him. So,
well, another thing unfolding this week were some big time baseball contracts, including two here in Houston, Texas.
They tied up Alex Bregman and Justin Verlander.
Yeah, big deals
some
there.
Nice $183 million they've committed to those guys.
Well, I'm holding out for the Mike Trout money. How about that? He did very well.
He's a big fish.
Yes.
That's for sure.
All right.
$430 million.
I see
million.
What you did there.
Did you see what I did?
He's a big fish.
I like that. See, look at Jose's fast.
Well, the other
slow
exciting
on the trigger,
thing,
boss.
When we return, we're going to talk about, we're going to go look at, all the brackets, all the activity, NCAA tournament, March Madness. The Gloss is sitting here with a pretty good bracket. I see very few mistakes.
It's not too marked up.
You're riding high. We'll look at what's going on. We'll actually take a look at who the Gloss has finishing number one in the end when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, what I'm about to say is based on a true story. I was reading that there's one person who still has a perfect bracket, who has gone 48 for 48 in his picks.
Me.
And when I read that, you know what I did, Jose? I thought, Carla, she's the one.
Is she?
Didn't you come to the same conclusion?
Here's the truth.
No,
here.
She
I'm holding
didn't.
Up my bracket.
There are a few mistakes, but there is one person. I just want to call this person out. We don't know who it is. It is not Carla Dawson, despite our first instincts.
Darn.
But this person's gone 48 for 48. It's the first time since all this has been recorded and placed out in the digital public domain that anyone has gotten through to the Sweet 16 here with no upsets, 48 to 48. The odds of doing that are one in some number that is too big for me to even read. It is crazy, crazy good. But he's got 15 more games remaining. We'll see if he can do it.
I think if he's gotten this far, I think it's the Sweet 16 is so beautifully laid out. Like, it's so logical. The committee did a great job. I mean, it went chalk this weekend. It's amazing.
Well, that
I
is,
think that this guy's gonna has got it.
That's certainly a big part of the reason why this guy has done so well, right? So you've done very well.
Not bad, huh?
I mean, there have been a few things that didn't go your way, but just looking at your brackets, we're looking at them now. University of Houston's been a pleasant surprise here in Houston. The Cougars lighting it up.
Makes
Corey Davis
so
outstanding, and they've
happy.
Got a big matchup against Kentucky. I mean, this is a team that has really played well.
And they're even gelling together more and more. You know, I was so disappointed when they won the AAC, but they did not win the conference championship. They lost to Cincinnati. And honestly, while I never am happy about a loss, and I'm a Cougars fan for sure, this is the best thing that happened to them. And Corey Davis Jr., the senior guard, says, you know, we're always focused, but we have a level that is unprecedented since that loss. And that loss to Cincinnati was only their third loss on the entire season.
Yep.
They're right now about to go into the third round of the tournament, 33-3.
Well, we were talking last week.
You got to know how to lose and respond.
Yeah, we were talking last week. Maybe it was a good loss. It was a loss to refocus.
I think so. I mean, yuck. Is a loss ever good?
Right.
No, but it served a great purpose. And you know why? Because one of the great things about the Houston Cougars is four-year coach Kelvin Sampson.
Yep.
He's brilliant. He's a brilliant motivator. He took over this program. They were 13-19. They were not relevant, not good, not exciting, nothing about it, and he has turned it into the best record that the school has ever seen.
Okay, so how do you like their chances against Kentucky?
You know, I love their chances against Kentucky because I think they're peaking at the right time. Of course, Kentucky is Kentucky. I mean, they're unreal. But P.J. Watson is not completely healthy.
Yep.
And that's going to make a difference. You know, they struggled without him. Now, he may be ready to go. I would say watch the injury report. But I also think that Kelvin Sampson is talking to his boys and saying, doesn't matter who our opponent is. We are going to the Sweet 16, and we're going to play like we're going to the Sweet 16. And what I think is neat about U of H, Jalen Robinson, he's one to watch. So he is a veteran. You know, he was there for the 13-19 team.
Yep.
He has played 135 games in the U of H uniform. That
love
kind
that.
Of presence
that's
to know.
Long term.
So he was there and knew what it felt like to lose at the last second. Jordan Poole from Michigan, his last shot that sent U of H home packing last year. And, you know, Michigan went on to, you know, lose to Villanova in the national championship. So the Cougs know how to play at that stage. And a veteran presence who has been there, that is hungry, really can bring them along.
Yeah, I think people forget how well they played last year and how close it was in the matchup in the final, well, in March Madness last year. But this year, and I think coming in this year, they were underrated. They had a great season, as you pointed out. But if they beat Kentucky, they're going to turn some heads. I mean, they'll be headed to face North Carolina. This is a
murderer's row bracket.
What?
Side of the bracket.
No
Jeez
doubt.
Almighty.
Yeah. Well, let's look at UNC, because really, UNC at this moment, having gotten this far, they probably look better than any other team in the tournament.
I agree with you. I really do. They're playing complete basketball, and they're shooting from the three. They're guarding the paint. They've got it all, and they're coming together really nicely in this tournament. I do want to say before we move on from U of H is that the AAC, which is not a Power 5 conference,
yep,
they have four teams in the tournament. They had Temple, which was in the 68, round of 68, then, you know, U of H, Cincinnati, and University of Central Florida,
yep,
who took Duke to The Wire yesterday. So it says a lot about this conference that, you know, the teams coming out of here, they are formidable and they are real and they are scary. Power fives, beware.
Well, I'll tell you what, UCF was scary to Duke yesterday.
Taco Fall was scary.
I loved watching Taco.
Oh, he's amazing.
I mean, just that wingspan. When he put his arms up in the air, it was fabulous to watch him.
But he moves,
He
too,
moves very well for a guy his size. He's no Mark Eaton or Manute Bol.
Right.
Or, I mean, there aren't a lot of people who've played at 7'6". And Manute Bol is on that short list. Mark Eaton, I think, did.
Well, pardon the pun.
No pun intended. But he was outstanding the way he defended in the paint.
Oh,
and
wow.
It certainly exposed Duke a little bit. They're not a great three-point shooting team.
Yeah, no, they're not. And what's interesting is they shoot in the low 30s from three. No team shooting that low of a percentage has ever made it to the Final Four. So we will see what happens, you know, after this next weekend. I don't doubt that Duke can. And no team as of last year had ever, no 16 had ever knocked off a one. And that happened with UMBC and Virginia. So there's always a first. But I do think that if there is an area of weakness for Duke, that is it. And boy, did UCF expose that yesterday. They just left Trey Jones alone like he was the water boy.
Yeah.
And he went 1-for-8 from downtown.
And he didn't make them pay for that defensive strategy, which was very good. Notably, Coach K, after the game, he was very classy. Clearly, he felt he had an empathetic heart for UCF, the players, the heartbreaking defeat that they endured.
No, he did. And he's got a special connection because UCF head coach Johnny Dawkins was a star player at Duke under Mike Krzyzewski. That was his coach.
Yep.
Then he went on to be a longtime assistant under Coach K as well. And so there's a history, there's a mutual respect, and there's also familiarity with how Coach K coaches. And, I mean, there was no better game plan than what Johnny Dawkins
put on that
floor.
No, Johnny Dawkins outcoached Coach K for at least this one moment.
Yes, he did. And his son, Aubrey Dawkins, had the game of his career as a, you know, redshirt junior, walk-on junior. And he had 32 points, which is the exact point total of Zion Williamson. And Aubrey Dawkins had the last shot that, you know, rimmed out twice, which was a good look and a good shot. And I what I loved about Coach K, because, of course, there are so many Blue Devil haters. You always hate the guys that are on top.
But, of course.
You know I'm a Warriors fan. I know how that is in the NBA. But I loved what he said, Coach K, right afterwards. You know, the on-court interview was, I'm really emotional right now. Like, I love Johnny Dawkins. I love this guy. I have been where he is, where they deserve to win that game, and it just didn't go. He said, I've been there, and it's just really hard for me to talk about right now. And I respect that. I mean, it was such an emotional, hard-fought, down-to-the-wire, and honestly, like, watching how the two teams played, Duke probably didn't deserve to get moved on, but it doesn't go to the most deserving.
Right.
It goes to who got the last luck to go their way, and both teams played their hearts out.
Okay, wrapping up this look at March Madness, who do you have in your Final Four and who do you have finishing on top?
Okay, so my Final Four, it's going to be no surprise. I have Tennessee, UNC, Duke, and Gonzaga.
Yep.
So.
And then your ultimate winner?
My ultimate winner is UNC.
UNC.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm going to say that.
Well, they looked really good. They have looked better than anybody thus far.
And I want Duke. I love this team. I really, and I love that Zion. I think he is humble as humble can be. And but I really think it's going to be UNC when it's all said and done. But I do think that this next weekend is going to be really telling, because this Sweet 16 in all of the eight matchups, it could go either way. I don't really see any sure things. I don't.
All
do
right.
You?
You've heard it from the gloss. No, I agree with you. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Ben Reeder. He's a senior sports writer for Sports Illustrated. He's also the author of a book called Astro Ball.
Outstanding book.
And he has really gotten deep into what makes MLB teams successful. It'll be Ben Reeder when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, I want to tell you something, and that is when I need auto parts but I can't get to a store, do you know where I go?
I do.
I go to O'ReillyAuto.com.
And I follow behind you.
Good, because you can pick up your parts online. You can pick them up in the O'Reilly Auto Parts store of your choice. There are no shipping costs. There are easy returns and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. It's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Ben Ryder, and Ben is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Ben, welcome. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, good. We're delighted to have you. In fact, before the show, Carla claimed that you were the person from SI who in 2014 predicted the Astros World Series in 2017. True?
That is true.
Amazing.
A claim to fame for sure. And I've written a book about not the prediction, but how the Astros made it come true, called Astro Ball.
Okay, Ben, I'm reading that. It is
actually comes out in paperback tomorrow.
Oh, so, awesome.
If you like your books floppy, you can pick it up in that form as well.
Well, she's already reading a hard copy.
I've got the hard copy. So I have to admit, I've read Moneyball 3 times. This one, I'm about a third of the way through Astro Ball. I cannot put it down. Ben, this is riveting. I love it. I told David, I said, run, don't walk. You have got to get this book.
Thanks, Carla. Really appreciate that. And, of course, you know, one of the people that I write about in the book is Alex Bregman, mm-hmm. who really came into his own last year. I was intrigued to know even more about this guy than I put into the book. And I was able to spend some time with Alex in Houston over the offseason for a profile of him that's in the current issue of SI.
Well, so I've read that, and one of the things that jumped out at me, look, we're here in Houston. Everybody knows what an outstanding player he is. We see him as an MVP player. But his whole positioning that he's going to make baseball players more marketable, that he's going to be more visible, that there's a brand to build for baseball players that doesn't exist in the NBA or the NFL. Is that possible, or is baseball just a different kind of sport?
He's certainly going to try. I don't think that baseball is necessarily a different sort of sport. It's certainly more tradition-bound. Maybe doesn't take cultural change as quickly as other sports. And I think we see that because of its, or evidence of that in its aging fan base. You know, average baseball fan is 57 years old, 7 years older than that at the NFL, 15 years older than that at the NBA. Okay. Bregman believes the big reason for that is that the players in particular have been slow to embrace social media to meet younger fans where they are. He's certainly taken the lead among baseball players in establishing himself on social media. Over the offseason, he had 2.5 times the social engagements of any other player in the major leagues. I'm sure if you have Twitter or Instagram, you've seen Alex Bregman on there over the past few months. He wants to do it not just to build his own personal brand, but to show everybody in the sport how they too can make the game more appealing to younger fans and to meet them where they are.
We're talking to Ben Ryder, a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, and he's just written a book called Astro Ball. Okay, in Astro Ball, I understand you've chronicled a lot of what has happened to make the Astros such a great team, such a force. What are the one or two things that you would highlight that differentiated the Astros from all these other MLB teams that are doing this, or chasing the same dream?
Well, you have to remember, when I wrote that initial SI cover story back in 2014, the Astros were nothing less than the laughing stock of baseball, 106 losses, 107 losses, 111 losses as of 2013.
We remember with great pain here in Houston. Great pain, yes.
Thanks for bringing it up, Ben.
I'm sure of that. Well, we're past it now, but what I saw in my few days in which I was really deeply embedded in the front office, got kind of unprecedented access to the inner workings of a baseball team, is I saw at the time that they were on to something new. The talk at the time was, are we a Moneyball team for many teams, or are we a traditional team? You know, do we go with what our scouts say? Do we go with what our analytics say? The Astros' answer, even back there in 2014, was, we're not choosing. We're both. We're going to use the best of our scouts. We're going to use the best of our analytics to guide our decisions and to make the best decisions we can as we try to climb this incredibly tall mountain of returning to contention. Well, as it turned out, over the next 3 years, that's exactly what they did. And they've really become the model franchise for all baseball clubs as far as how to blend man and machine. They're still at the cutting edge of that. That's another reason why they're one of the very top favorites in this year's season.
Well, they're the only ones predicted to win 103 games, according to SI. So they've got big expectations on the Astros. So as you've seen, Ben, this week, Astros have extended Alex Bregman $100 million, Justin Verlander's 2 years at $33 million each for a total of $66 million. What does this do for the Astros in their negotiations going forward with pitcher Gerrit Cole?
I think it's helpful with Cole. I think Cole's in a bit of a different situation than Verlander, probably less likely to accept one of those very high average annual value contracts, but in the short term, because Verlander's 36, mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole's only 28. And as we've seen all these players sign extensions with their current teams, that's just going to improve the stock for the players who do reach the free agent market, as Gerrit Cole very likely will. I actually don't think those extensions have much of an impact on Cole's situation, although it's very good news for the Astros and Astros fans that they have Verlander locked up for 2 years after this one, not to mention Alex Bregman for really the foreseeable future.
And sticking with pitching and the Astros, and we'll move on a little bit to Boston too. So obviously this year, another slow free agent market. Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrel still out there. What do you think is going on there? And will they sign, do you think, anytime soon, or will it be an injury opportunity signing for either of those two?
I think that a lot of teams around the league are really following the Astros model, which is not to pay free agents for what they've done in the past, but mm-hmm. to pay them based on the projections they have for them in the future. And I think, quite simply, Kimbrel and Keuchel's expectations are higher than what the market will bear. And they have every right to have high expectations. Keuchel's a recent Cy Young winner. Kimbrel, one of the greatest closers of all time, who's still close to 30 years old. The fact is that it's a closed market, though. There's only 30 teams out there, and none of them have stepped up to give them those big dollars. So I think that their only choice will be to sign a shorter-term deal or sit out. And I actually think that both of them will probably sign, you know, in the first month of the season. I mean, frankly, looking at the Astros rotation, which is strong, certainly at the top, a reunion with Dallas Keuchel and maybe a two-year deal might end up making a ton of sense for both sides.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Ben Ryder. He's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, author of the book Astros Ball. Yeah, the Astros rotation at the top is unbelievable with Verlander and Cole. Red Sox, they have a great rotation. Yankees have some health questions. What rotations stand out to you? When you look across MLB, who do you like for your starting five?
I think it's probably the Cleveland Indians when we're looking at just starting rotations in a vacuum. Now, the Indians have some other issues as far as health, maybe not quite the bullpen that some of their rivals have, certainly not the Astros or the Yankees. But one through five, man, it's hard to find another one that matches up with the Cleveland Indians. They're so deep that their number four starter, by most accounts, Mike Clevinger, is a trendy pick to break out and win the Cy Young. It's certainly the strength of that team. They don't have the depth that these other teams have, and we've seen in previous seasons that depth is incredibly important if you're going to make it through 162 and then three rounds of the playoffs. But purely starting pitching, it's hard to top the Indians.
Speaking of starting pitching, let's talk about Chris Sale signing with the Red Sox. A big deal. And he struggled with health down the stretch last year. Did that deal surprise you?
It did surprise me a little bit. You know, $30 million a year for 5 years for somebody who is a dominant pitcher when he's healthy, but it seemed to wear down at the end of seasons, certainly did last year. Particularly surprising given the fact that the Red Sox have younger position players who are not signed to mega long-term deals, specifically Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts. But, hey, they figure that Chris Sale was worth this gamble, and they'll take care of those young position players later.
Does Mookie Betts get a contract that looks like Mike Trout?
I think he does. You know, I frankly am still surprised that Trout signed that contract. I mean, it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that most humans on Earth would have trouble turning down more than $400 million. But if Trout waited two more years and hit the free agent market, I'm pretty sure that even in this flowing age for free agents, you would have gotten a lot more than that. If Betts does wait it out and reach the free agent market, I'm pretty sure, as long as he maintains his current level of production, that he might be the new record setter as far as the biggest contract in the history of American sports.
I think Bryce Harper boohooed when he saw the money that Mike Trout got. Couldn't even believe it. Okay, Ben, I love the story you did, the SI story on Trevor Bauer, the Cleveland Indians pitcher. I followed him. I'm just fascinated by him and the things that he says and the way that he conducts himself. And I love that he said, you know, there's two things that I'm really good at, throwing a baseball and making people mad. That's my nice way of saying what he said. What was your time like with him? And do you think the Indians, they like him, his chutzpah, are they going to hang on to him?
And you only get about 30 seconds to answer that great question.
Oh, there's so much to unpack with him,
well,
too.
I spent about 7 hours with him. I've never met an athlete. I'm not sure I've ever met a person as unfiltered as Trevor Bauer, and I'm sure that comes through in the article that you read,
yes,
Carla.
Yes.
He will talk and engage on everything. As far as whether he'll stay with the Indians, no, I don't. In fact, he told me this is his last year with the Indians. He's sure they're going to trade him in the offseason. That's in part because of his expectations. He says he's never going to sign anything more than a one-year deal for the rest of his career. That's how he's going to maximize his earnings.
Awesome stuff. Ben Ryder, Sports Illustrated, author of Astro Ball. Thanks so much for joining us.
David, Carla, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ben.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, I want to tell you that I really have some good advice for you. I know that you've been suffering with some back pain.
Yes.
And I know what you need to solve your problem.
Does it start with a blue?
Yes.
And end with an emu?
Yes. You need some blue emu. And you need some blue emu.
You know what I do?
Right away.
That's a fact.
It's a deep penetrating cream.
There we go again.
And there's no chill, no burn, and no odor. It's the number one selling emu oil brand in America. You need to get it. It's made in America. It will fix what ails your back.
We can perfectly segue into Robert Kraft then. Did I say that?
Well, maybe. He was out getting a massage at the Orchid of Asia Spa, which is a little different matter. And he's now going to the NFL owners meetings.
He's and there in Phoenix.
It's an awkward window, right? Interestingly, I'll frame it up this way. It was an interesting 1-2 punch. You had one day Kraft's apology. I'm sorry.
For
comma,
what?
For
we'll
whatever. He didn't really say for what.
Right.
He just said, I'm sorry, probably for all the embarrassment that he's caused.
I'm sorry I got caught. That's what that was.
And next day, the Gronk retires, stealing all the headlines and all the follow-up talk. Pretty good PR management on the part of the Patriots.
Brilliant.
Call it coincidence. Call it orchestrated.
It's a little crafty.
A little crafty. Call it a pun. Yeah. Well, let's go to Robert Kraft for a minute. There he is. He has a lawyer working on his legal front. And to be sure, there's an argument that he may get out of his legal dilemma, that he may not face prosecution. He may be able to work his way out under the pretext that the police were able to install cameras searching for one crime, which was sex trafficking, which does not appear to be something that implicates Robert Kraft and was taking place with him. So he might be able to get out of the legal machinations. But that's just the start. I mean, we've seen lots of people who have had the ability to get out of legal issues. Ezekiel Elliott as a player. He's a guy who was never prosecuted in the court of law, but he was prosecuted by Roger Goodell. He was suspended for the issues he had at home and domestic violence. Robert Kraft is going to take some heat. I think the biggest punishment thus far has been embarrassment, humiliation.
Yes, reputation.
Reputation. Mm-hmm. But there's more to come. Roger Goodell, the NFL, conduct unbecoming to the Shield. What does that look like in your mind?
Well, you know, Roger Goodell does have, he's judge, jury, executioner, and under that, his sole job is to protect the Shield.
Yep.
And so any conduct that is, quote, detrimental to the league, like you just said, he has the authority to do what he sees fit. And what's interesting about it, while this is tricky, because the bosses are Roger Goodell's owners, so it's kind of a weird little setup they've got going there. However, he would definitely bring the hammer down on players, you know, and rightfully so. So if I'm Demoris Smith, head of the players union, I'm looking to see what's he going to do, because I'm going to take it to him if he's not going to treat the owners with the same type of, because this is a bad, these are bad optics for the NFL. And let me tell you why. It's not only that he was a misdemeanor for soliciting a sex act in a day spot, and that sex act and the exchange of money was caught on camera. So that's what his lawyers don't want to get out.
Well,
for obvious
goodness,
reasons.
Can you imagine? And that will get out.
I don't want the visual myself.
You
honestly.
Do?
I do not.
No, but I mean, it's going to get out.
I think it's going to get out.
Jose's probably going to send us a link in a couple weeks. Here's the video. Take a look. Jose, I don't need to see that.
No, I have no intentions in sending a link.
Please.
Especially not on a company email.
Thank you.
Good.
Especially
good
not to your
there,
boss,
Jose.
Of all things, right?
No.
But, I mean, that moment's going to come. That is an amazing phenomenon that will leak just because of the nature of social media. It only takes one guy to backdoor it off to some friend who sends it on to another. And after three little laundering of the tweets, it all of a sudden, there it is. It's out there. And that's going to be a day of ignominy.
Inquiring minds want to know. Inquiring eyes want to know. But if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm saying, okay, yeah, that happened.
Yes.
They have it on camera. But here's what I think is the most egregious of all.
Yes.
It happened on the morning of the AFC. Well, one of the times happened. It was the night before and the morning of the AFC Championship game.
He's a spry 70-something-year-old.
Apparently. While his entire team is there for the biggest game of the season, you know, hoping to go on to the Super Bowl, he's got a white, chauffeured white Bentley pulling up to the Orchids of... I just want you to picture this. Pulling up to the Orchids
I'm doing
of Asia
my very best.
Asia Day Spa. He hops out. Okay, it's not exactly clandestine to have a white Bentley at a strip center.
Yeah.
Waiting. You know, the car's running. I'm sure it's nice and toasty in Jupiter.
Sure.
He's in for 10 minutes. They've got the whole deal on camera. He's out. And then... So it even is involving... It's revolving around football. He didn't travel with his team.
Mm.
Not even if he's not on the same plane... He's not even in the same, didn't even arrive the same day. I don't like that optics if I'm RG.
Okay, so you're RG. At the minimum, at least, there will be the maximum fine. The $500,000, Kraft is going to have to write a check.
Oh, darn.
I don't really know how much that affects his day-to-day life. It's just not a big deal.
I agree.
Then there's, presumably, has to be a suspension. And when you look at suspension to players, that has a real impact on the rest of the team. If Robert Kraft is suspended and can't actually show up at Gillette Stadium, if it's still named Gillette Stadium after all this, but it's another
petition,
matter. There's a petition to change it in light of what just happened. But if he can't show up because he's suspended, what does that really mean? Well, as an owner, one of the luxuries of or privileges of owning a team is you get to show up and watch your team in your owner box. To be sure, he won't get to do that. But if there are 6, 8, 10 Sundays where he has to watch from home, I just don't know how much that really impacts his life, his team. If that the suspension, the power of the suspension, the consequences of the suspension seem so light for an owner versus a player.
No, it does. And I just wonder how the other 31 owners feel about this, because it really does taint. It puts a tainted light on it. And it's like now you start wondering, well, what is Jerry Jones doing? What is we don't have to worry about Mark Davis. No offense if you've seen the haircut. But love you, Mark Davis, but we need a new barber. But you know, that just puts other people, you know, you start wondering now. And here's what I have to kind of laugh at Robert Kraft's, his attempt at an apology. And again, there's no apology for anything specific.
Sure.
He's just overall, just he's truly sorry.
He's sorry.
Period. Like, we don't know what for. He's sorry that he got caught is what it is. But this is what I love. I just had to pick out this little nugget from his apology. As I move forward, I hope to use the platform which I have been blessed to help others and try to make a difference. Here comes the nugget. I expect to be judged not by my words, but by my actions. And through those actions, I hope to regain your confidence and respect. Roberto, well, your actions are on videotape. So if you really want to be judged by those actions, I would suggest you pick another avenue. Do we not think this is a little weird?
Well.
Do you want to be judged by those actions at the Asian Orchid Day Spa?
I don't. Look, fortuitously, the next day, Gronk's news came out. Gronk retires. It's over.
What a coinkading. Check it out.
So now we get the luxury of moving on to Gronk, and all is well.
And that's all a buzz at the owners' meetings about Gronk.
Well, it is, because he goes down in history as one of the greatest tight ends ever.
And he is. He'll one be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I mean, his ability to both block and catch. There's some tight ends you look at him, oh, they were great receivers, some of them great blockers but couldn't catch. Gronk was the complete player.
Yes, I agree.
First ballot Hall of Famer to you?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, not a doubt about it. With Bill Belichick's system and Gronk's talents and size, he created the tight end position as we know it today.
One of the things that I find amusing is because he was so goofy, and even in his own words, he said, I was so grateful that Kraft and Belichick drafted my goofiness, right?
The silliness. Yeah, I love
silliness.
That.
Because he was so fun, loving, and goofy, and had that grin, and he could dance in those cockeyed ways. Because of all that, there's been a wave of sort of narrative. People are coming out, his teammates and such, saying, you know, he really, really, really was a very smart football player. And I'm actually affirming that. I looking what they did, looking what they expected him to do, look at the way they expected him to read defense and do option routes, he was a very, very smart football player.
Yes.
But that wasn't the first thing I thought of. I thought of this hulking, big physical presence, goofy presence off the field. But now what they're saying really is in all the team meetings and all the preparation and then on the field, he was a very, very good student of the game, very mental.
Well, he definitely didn't do much to shirk his frat boy image. Because,
yep.
And, you know, he's fun-loving,
right.
And he's got all these brothers and his dad, and he had the Gronk cruise and all this crazy stuff that you know, his shirt off during the Patriots Super Bowl parades. When
oh, you noticed that, did you?
It was a moment.
Well, I bet.
But, you know, I do think he's very smart. I agree with you. Yeah. I think he's really smart. And, you know, he's had 6 surgeries in the last 2 seasons. I mean, I can understand at 29 years old, the guy is like, why not go out on top? You're a Super Bowl champ. It was a really rough season for him injury-wise. And why not be able to walk when you're 75? And,
yep.
You know, hey, he has nothing left to prove, no. I don't think.
No, his career, he gets to go out on with a Super Bowl ring. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, the question now is, what about the Patriots? I mean, how can they lose Gronk from that offense? They just don't have a great receiving core. They certainly have nobody at the tight end position now. Yeah. They are scrambling here as we enter the draft.
Let me tell you, I agree with you. And then I will give you $10 if you can find more than one person who's worried about the Patriots. I mean, they will pick up some guy who is on the golf team at a community college and plunk him into the tight end or wide receiver position and go, oh, my gosh, look, he got the winning Super Bowl interception. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, they've had that knack, have they not?
Me too.
No, they've got a lot of picks. They got 6 picks in the top 100 picks of the draft, so they have a chance to restock the shelf that way. But I think they need both tight end help and receiver help.
Right, I do.
I mean, it's going to be. I mean, they lost Cordell Patterson. He's gone. They just
had a great season with them. Came from Oakland.
Well, Belichick figured out how to use him in a way that nobody else had. And so they're bereft of that. You know, when you look at the tight ends coming out in the draft, T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant from
Iowa State. Yeah.
Those two guys, I mean, they are impressive. Hockenson's the closest one to compare to Gronk. I was looking at it. Hockenson is 6'5", 241 pounds.
Man.
Gronk is 6'6", 265. So even as monstrous as Hockenson is, Gronk was bigger, better. And it'll just be hard to replace that presence. But Hockenson's going to be gone by the time the Patriots pick at number 32. They would have to trade up for him. Noah Fant's probably a first-rounder who would also be gone.
Yes.
The guy that I'm sort of intrigued to see, Irv Smith of Alabama. Well, we all know that Belichick has a great relationship with the great Nick Saban. He's been at the Alabama camp. He's gotten a good long look at Irv Smith. And he's a guy who might slip to the Patriots in the second round where they could pick him up and try to plug him in and see. There's no replacing Gronk, but they've got to go to work on it.
No, but they've got a great system that welcomes talent, welcomes hard work.
Well, they need to. Interesting, we've only got a minute or two more, but just shift gears. The Texans did 2 signings last week that are sort of intriguing. One is they've got what I might call a quality backup. A.J. McCarron is nobody that you would ever want to have start for your team. But to have him as
former
a backup.
Alabama QB, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a quality backup,
yes,
right, in this league. And the Texans pick him up. He will back up Deshaun Watson. He'd be one of those guys you hope you'll never have to use him, that Watson will be healthy all the time.
And then they re-signed 34-year-old Joe Webb as the third behind
So they got
AJ McCarron.
Some depth at quarterback. And then they've added former Carolina offensive tackle Matt Khalil. They got him on a one-year deal. I mean, that's a guy with pedigree. He was the fourth overall pick for Minnesota. Now, that's way back in 2012. He's had health issues. But for the Texans, they need offensive line help,
yes,
depth, starting talent. Khalil fits in that mix somewhere.
Yeah, he had a couple of tough games. He started every game in five of the seven seasons where he was with Minnesota and Carolina, and then plagued with some injuries last year. So he's coming off an injury year and hopefully fresh legs, feeling healthy, because they could use him.
All right, when we come back, we're going to ask the Gloss if Blake Bortles can resurrect his career with the Rams. He's got, the wonder coach is going to have to work another miracle. We'll see when we return, SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, two other quick NFL signings we did not get to address. Vontaze Burfict goes to your Oakland Raiders. Now, he's a bit of a bad boy. He fits your old image.
This is perfect for Raider Nation.
This is what you need.
They wasted no time. One day after Cincinnati released him, he's been there 7 years, bam, he's in Oakland.
You love the bad boys there.
I'll never tell.
Okay.
But yeah, repeatedly suspended by the NFL for violent hits. And he's actually spent a few times violating the league's substance abuse policy. So he is a perfect pickup from a man in black.
Well done, Prince
Nobody's
of Darkness.
Perfect, so here he comes.
All right, the other one, Blake Bortles, signs with the Rams. Sean McVay is going to resurrect his career. The boy wonder coach will commit a miracle? Yes?
No.
No?
No, he's a backup on a one-year deal.
Okay.
And, you know, I think Jared Goff is a well-protected quarterback.
Yes.
He hasn't really had any injuries. This is probably a cheap insurance policy.
Hey, he was the third overall pick in the 2014 draft. Aren't you underestimating him?
No.
Really?
That was overestimating him. I know. Isn't that an amazing fact? I'm glad you brought that up. Just 5 years ago. Less than that.
Yeah,
5 years ago.
Well, if you look at draft capital, what Goff went number one, Bortles went number three. You'd be hard pressed to find a team with a number one overall and number three overall quarterback on their team. And that's really a lot of draft capital.
Oh, my God.
They're stacked.
Bortles, it's not happening.
As Nick Foles comes to take over the Jaguars, the other sort of quiet signing, a big deal. It's a great fit. Great, great fit. All right, hour number one in the books. This hour has been presented to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. We'll be right back here on SB Nation Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.